It is time now for The Other Side, and for that we are joined in the studio by three special guests, Waddy Davis, Laura Gutman, and Catherine Gutman, all joining us today in the studio, Orange County Conservatives, to talk this week about, so we planned this out a couple of days in advance for segments like this, and we were going to focus specifically on anti-Semitism in American political discourse with the shooting in El Paso over the weekend, broadening that out a little bit to talk about racial hatred and racism more generally speaking. So everyone, thank you so much for being with us today.
Good morning, Aaron.
Why do you want to start us off? Where are we going with this conversation?
Well, Aaron, thank you for having us here today at WCHL. Our discussion is primarily going to center around and focus on anti-Semitism. But first, we want to preface just how disturbed we are about the senseless murders that have taken place in El Paso, Texas, and in Dayton, Ohio, by two crazy people. And we condemn hatred in all forms. As you know, one of the shooters posted online racist, bigoted, and anti-Semitic comments just 20 minutes before the shooting actually took place. So the common denominator between connecting the two is that there's no room for hate, and that the leadership needs to take an active role, you know, at the national, state, and community levels.
And certainly not the only incident, far from it, that's happened recently. They've got the Pittsburgh synagogue shooting, which was just last year. There was another shooting in a synagogue earlier this year in California. There was the demonstration in Charlottesville in 2017, which was anti-Semitic, among many other things. So when we say we need leadership to take a more active role, what tangibly does that mean?
Maybe we should think about what the definition of anti-Semitism is to start.
Yeah, if we could just take a little bit of a step back.
Because
I'm not sure everybody really knows how to recognize anti-Semitism when they're faced with it. So if we, you know, just take a moment and define what is anti-Semitism and what does it look like coming from the different sides of the political spectrum. One of the ways I think you can recognize anti-Semitism is if a person has a notion of the worst thing that is causing problems in the world, and they blame that worst thing on, well, the Jews are responsible for that. That's anti-Semitism. So on the far right, you might have people who are saying that the worst thing that's happening in the world and the worst, you know, scourge that's been brought upon the world is Marxism and communism and socialism, and the Jews are responsible for that. And at the same time, in a sort of bizarrely diametrically opposed way from the left, you might have people who are saying, well, the worst thing that happens to the world is capitalism and predatory banking policies, and the Jews are responsible for that. So if whatever your boogeyman is, you've blamed the Jews for it. And this is probably something that can be seen across all forms of hatred and bigotry and racism, is you've taken a group and you've targeted them as being responsible for what's wrong with the world. So just to take that step back and say this is anti-Semitism.
I think also currently what's happened is that anti-Semitism has taken a new trajectory toward blaming the state of Israel. When you think of anti-Zionism, keep in mind that it's the transfer of all the old slurs and attacks on Jews over the centuries onto the Jewish state. Not all criticism of the Israeli state, or of Jews for that matter, is anti-Semitic or anti-Zionist. There is certainly legitimate criticism, and the distinguishing characteristics are important to keep in mind. Probably the biggest one right now is double standards, in which the Jewish people and the state of Israel are held to a behavior level which no other nation is. Just this week, the UN Economic and Social Council singled out Israel as the worst offender of women's rights. Voting on this included Iran, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Pakistan, nations that condone female genital mutilation, who stone adulterers. This is a massive double standard. Another characteristic is demonization, in which the Jews or the state of Israel are the embodiment of evil. You have the Nazi-like cartoons of a hooked nose, a very evil person eating children, things along that line. And then you have delegitimization policies, which deny the fact that the Jewish state is legitimate at all. BDS, this is one of the issues that comes right on up. out of this. Boycott, divestment, and sanctions. These are social means of attacking the state of Israel. It's I noticed that there are North Carolina laws now on BDS passed not very long ago in which the North Carolina agencies are not allowed to do business deals with companies that have BDS provisions. So it's a prominent enough issue that it passed the North Carolina legislature.
This is something that has been very much in the news recently, the debate over BDS. And there's the concern that I have about the policy that you mentioned, the North Carolina policy, and this is something that's being debated on the state level and on the national level state governments or the national government taking a stand against the BDS movement, is that on a certain level, regardless of what your position is on the BDS movement, the right to spend your money how you want to is an important personal freedom.
Well,
so if you want to take part in a boycott, whether it's for a legitimate and positive moral cause or for a cause that I find reprehensible, you can spend your money however you want.
All of us would agree with that.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us do, you know, vote with our feet
your pocketbook,
to some extent. This has to do with governmental action, not individual action. Nothing stops you. This has to do with governmental transfer of contracts.
Well, it's government sanctions on businesses that participate in
that's
this.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
right. So it's prohibiting the government from taking what is arguably a position that is motivated by a double standard that is anti-Semitic at its root. Individuals can have whatever opinions they want and do what they want with their pocketbook. Mm-hmm. One of the things for my own history that might be relevant to this is I started off considering myself to be a liberal Democrat. I went to a college, a small liberal arts college that was a very sort of progressive space. One of the things that I experienced at this college, just as an example, I had some friends who started, it was a women's college. I had some friends who started a group, a social group of women, and they invited me to join the group. And I thought, okay, it's a social group. My friends have started this. I'll go hang out with them. They were women of color, and I showed up, and everybody else there were also women of color. And at that point, a heated debate ensued about whether I, a Jewish woman, could join this group, because as a Jew, am I oppressed or am I an oppressor? And this was the discussion on the right. This is not about me as an individual. This is about me as my identity as a Jew. And I thought this was a very boring conversation, and I said, okay, you guys have your conversation. I'm gonna go now. But it was an interesting insight into sort of the level of the discourse that started moving me towards the right. What I have discovered in that movement towards the right is that, yes, if you get out to the far extremes of the right, there's some really nasty stuff going on out there. But it is rejected by the mainstream. It is completely rejected by the mainstream and everybody that I know. My experience on the left is that views of Jews being overrepresented, being controlling, being responsible for capitalism, being responsible for, in the case of Israel, being responsible for the targeting of black and brown communities. These are, these are sort of normalized, acceptable views of Jews on the left that aren't rejected.
So speaking with Catherine Gutman, so I want to press you on that, because the shooting that took place in El Paso on Saturday was not an anti-Semitic shooting. It was committed by someone who had driven 9 hours to commit violence against Latinos, Mexicans, immigrants, and had said so in his manifesto. But the rationale that he offered was something called great replacement theory, right? Which is this idea that white people are on the verge of being replaced both by immigration and by the fact that white people's fertility rates are low. This is the same theory that motivated the shooter in New Zealand. What year was that? 2017. The synagogue shooting in Pittsburgh, the synagogue shooting I mentioned in California, all of the people who committed these crimes either had explicit manifestos or had posted online about this idea of great replacement theory, and the anti-Semitic violence was committed by people who had blamed Jews for helping to orchestrate those policies, and that's why they targeted synagogues in Pittsburgh, and that's why they targeted those synagogues in California. They're also making arguments about immigration as an infestation. They're making arguments about immigration as an invasion. All of this is part of the same piece for these people, and I think the majority of people who are listening to this show, who are listening to you saying, well, this is something that's rejected on the mainstream of the right and not rejected on the mainstream of the left, is going to be listening to this and saying, I don't understand how you can make that argument, because I hear Donald Trump on national television every single day saying invasion, infestation, we need to crack down on immigration.
He's talking about illegal immigration, and he's been very clear on that. Mm-hmm. He's been very clear that legal immigration is welcome, that legal immigrants are part of the framework of this country, of this nation, and our greatness. He's talking about illegal immigration. And I think the conflating of viewpoints about legal immigration and wanting to control our borders and wanting to control illegal immigration is a frankly dishonest conflation.
He's also proposed a reduction in the number of asylum seekers. He's also proposed a reduction in the number of legal immigrants. He has, independent of the separation of legal and illegal immigration, used this exact same language, invasion, infestation, to refer to legal or illegal immigrants. We want to separate the one from the other. It's the language that's being used, and it's the language that is the same rhetoric that's being used on these far extremes of the far right. And again, people listening to this are going to say, well, why is it that we're arguing that there's a distinction between the mainstream and the far right when people who are committing these crimes are saying very explicitly either Trump is my guy or
Elizabeth Warren is my guy?
I don't think any of these people are saying Elizabeth Warren is my guy.
The Dayton, Ohio shooter
put some things on social media about being left-wing.
We got Sanders.
He's also not committing, as far as we know, racist violence. Politically motivated violence, yes, but this is different.
I think the actual reality here is that all of these attacks are being committed by people who are deeply sick. And anti-Semitism is a deep sickness, that a mental health condition. That is the nature of anti-Semitism, and mm-hmm. the people who glom onto that for either social attacks or physical violent attacks are being manipulated by the sickness of anti-Semitism. It needs to be recognized, and it is extremely useful to both the right and the left to attribute it to the other side. But this, again, is using anti-Semitism in a sick way, and should be rejected. It should be recognized for what it is and rejected.
Speaking with Wadi Davis, Laura Gutman, Catherine Gutman, running short on time, we've got to wrap up. I want to go back to the first question that I had based on what you had said, Wadi, which is that leadership needs to take a stand. What should leadership do?
Well, the first thing we need to look at is education in our school. And I think here in North Carolina, we have a good example of that right now. The House of Representatives just passed a bill that will allow education on the Holocaust and genocide to be taking place at the secondary schools and the high school.
Require rather than allow, right?
Yeah, you're correct on that.
Yeah.
So that's taking place. But one thing I want to note here, because this is right in our backyard. Right now, we know that approximately 2/3 of all the shootings that have taken place have involved people with mental illness. And we have an organization right here in Chapel Hill, Orange County, called Club Nova. And it's a place where people with mental illness can congregate, can go. They have a staff that helps them find jobs. It's a success story. It's right here. And it's something that needs to be mirrored, not just here, but in other cities and towns in North Carolina and in the country, and though there are only a few of these type clubhouses in the country.
What should be done on the state and national level about that?
Yeah, it's a success story, and we need to have our community here in Chapel Hill and Carrboro and Orange County continue to support this initiative.
What should be done on the state and national level about that?
I wonder if I can address that. I think one of the things, and this is one of the places maybe where the left and the right disagree on who's the right authority to step in and help.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're all conservatives and feel very strongly that the biggest influence in our lives is at the local level. There is no single answer at the federal level for what can be done to help with mental illness. And that's a more conservative approach to things, is to say, bring problems back to the local level, let the local community deal with it.
Yeah, one of the things to note, by the way, for those who want to look into this issue more deeply, there'll be a major talk on September 24th. Miriam Illman, who's a national investigator on anti-Semitism, will be speaking at the Event Center at 7 o'clock. Following her talk, there'll be a vigorous discussion. So please, everybody, come and consider this issue a little more.
Wadi Davis, Laura Gutman, Catherine Gutman. Got to wrap it up, but that's the other side for this week. Thank you all so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.